And now, we want to listen to the music of the well-known 19th century French composer, Louise Ferranc. Okay, maybe you haven't heard of Louise Ferranc. This is her third symphony. And our culture writer, Fran Hoefner, believes that it should have cemented Ferranc's place in the classical canon, but not surprisingly for her time and ours, it didn't. So let's explore Louise Ferranc with Fran. Hi, Fran.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. And at the beginning of your writing about Louise Ferranc, you make a confession. This is a blind spot for you.
Yeah, I think French classical music, as well as just sort of female composers, is a huge blind spot for me.
Yeah, well, you're going to make up for that. And for us, not knowing about Louise Ferranc, those of us who don't, tell us about her.
So she comes of age around the time of Beethoven. So when we think of French classical music, I think we think of Camille Saint-Saëns, we think of Debussy. All those guys come way later in the 19th century, and Louise Ferranc is born in 1804. So she's on the earlier side of things, and she has these big sort of Germanic and like Central European influences on her music. That's not quite as like delicate or playful as the stuff that comes later in the century.
Well, so very early, but not a time without, as you write, female composers. There were others.
Right. You have, you know, your Fanny Mendelssohns, you have Clara Schumann, but those composers, as much as I love them, have a last name that is also tied to another male composer. And Louise Ferranc stands very much on her own.
Mm-hmm. Her husband was a musician, and he did some music publishing, but he wasn't famous.
Right.
So he didn't pole vault her. So tell us a little more about her sound, because you write two things. First, as a woman, people kind of think, oh, a woman is going to write delicately, which is diminishing. And also that she was French, but you talk about the difference between the French and Germanic sounds you were mentioning.
Well, I think when we think about classical music sort of on the whole, there's a very, you know, militaristic, powerful German sound that starts with Beethoven and goes far into like Mahler. And with French music, we think of something a little more expressionistic, but that music comes more in the Romantic era. So because Ferranc is sort of right there in the classical era, she's drawing on these Germanic influences. Like, she was alive when Beethoven's Ninth came out, and it's hard to imagine hearing something like that as a young person and not wanting to have your music sound like that as well.
Well, let's listen to the beginning of the first movement of her Third Symphony. And as you write, it starts off with, I don't know, some of that delicateness maybe we were talking about. This is Adagio Allegro. But pretty soon, you know, as her music goes on, we hear some of those influences you're talking about. Okay, there she is.
Yeah.
What do you think was going on there? You say maybe she was teasing, you know, saying, I think you think I'm going to do this as she starts.
Yeah, I think she's feigning a little bit of nervousness right up at the top to maybe lure the listener into a sense of unease or almost distrust. And then she sort of swoops in with that fervor and is like, you're safe, you're fine. Like, I know where this is going.
Okay. And now we have the second movement, Adagio Cantabile. Let's listen.
What are you hearing here, Fran Hoefner?
Well, as a former timpanist, I'm always listening for the timpani, and it's just there very quietly in the background of most of this piece as this really steady heartbeat. So in the adagio movement, it's supposed to be, you know, slower and more expressive, but I think she wants that constant rhythm to it so it doesn't slip too much into, you know, nostalgia or sentimentality.
That timpani was that like distant thunder.
Yeah.
They kind of heard there. Okay, famous first as a performer on the piano. Talk about the shift to symphonies, which is a huge undertaking.
Yeah, symphonies were not exactly the types of pieces that French composers were writing at this time. This was very much in the German tradition. And because she was a female composer, you know, a lot of her playing and composing was for parlor rooms, like very much in the home. Not necessarily her home, but the home of more wealthy patrons. And symphonies are a really public art, so it took a lot of time and effort to get to the point in her career where she was able to, like, premiere a symphony. I think she had a career a lot like working artists have careers now, where they, you know, they teach and they have their sort of steady job, and then once every now and then they get to do something big and splashy on their own terms.
Well, I want to listen to the third movement. You say it's the most fun, instruments storming in and out. Now, I feel like I'm hearing Beethoven here. Is this what you're saying when you think she was conscious of him?
Absolutely, yeah. I think his influence is all over this. But it does it does feel distinctly her own. Like, I don't think Beethoven is this playful a lot of the time.
So, Fran, we know the music of Louise Ferenc was praised by people like Robert Schumann. At the time, she had a prestigious position of professor of piano at the conservatory, the only woman of the 19th century to hold that. She was acknowledged.
Definitely, but I think just lost in the wayside of the canon, which is so much controlled by men.
Yeah.
You know, I think she felt like maybe like a phase, or because she was so heavily influenced by Beethoven, it just gets lumped into the Beethovian legacy versus the Ferenc legacy.
Huh. Well, let's continue to rectify that. Let's listen to the fourth movement of Louise Ferenc's Third Symphony. This one is another allegro. This huge finale where she goes for broke. Let's listen. She's not ending yet.
No, it's so full of false endings. She's really just, like, continuing to play tricks throughout this one.
Fake out. What else are you hearing here in the end?
She's kind of pulling out all the stops in a way that I will say also feels very Beethovenian, where it's like anything she maybe didn't have room for in the three movements preceding it, she's like, throw it into the finale. And it creates this very overwhelming sense of self, I guess. And as a listener, I find myself pulled in all sorts of different directions.
Well, I'm thinking, too, it may be something she can express in music that women at that time couldn't express in their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, like, as a pianist, to have the range of a full symphony, you know, like, maybe there's only so much she can say with the piano, but, like, let her write for trumpet, let her write for timpani, let her write for cello and violin. She allows, like, all these voices within her to speak as well.
So maybe we're hearing kind of a rebel there.
Yeah.
That's culture opinionator Fran Hoffner, who writes about classical music for WQXR in New York. and is also teaching at Rutgers, and admitting to a blind spot in her own awareness of musical and trying to make up with that French classical music, and in particular the music of Louise Ferranc. But while we have you, what other female composers do you think we should give a listen to?
I'm a huge fan of Fanny Mendelssohn, who is the sister of Felix Mendelssohn. I love both the Mendelssohns equal amounts. But Fanny is also a pianist like Louise. And I think that her piano sonata in G minor that I just adore.
Fran Hoffner, thanks so much.
Thank you.